B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
DraftKings Over-Under Show, 617-779-0985. Can we just crap all over Mattress Mack for a second here? Did you see his crappy ticket all? It was like it went in the washing machine or something. Just a $5 billion ticket just washing around there. But he lost again.
Yeah, he also had a 10 grand parlay ticket yesterday. Stop parlaying, folks.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Would you like to... All right, so let's crap on Mattress Mack, and then I want to get into this boost thing that's been happening of late that might be a trend here. But, okay, when has Mattress Mack won a bet? I know he took Houston. They lost. He might have took Houston when they won the World Series, right, maybe a few years ago.
So he's had a few hits here and there, but for the most part, the guy sucks. Now, he's hedging, right? He's hedging on... You know, his businesses and everything. And if you guys actually, the conspiracy Dan over here, take a look into what the actual mattress business is like and maybe why the mattress business exists, because it's not just for selling mattresses. just saying. Maybe you'll know why the guy has so much freaking money. But that being said, the guy sucks at betting. He's just he's the worst. He is the absolute, you know, he take Sammy's bartender, multiply it times two. It's not just Mac. He sucks.
Yeah, I don't think his record has been... he won $75 million on the World Series bet.
I think he bet Houston. Was that against the Nationals?
Yeah, and then he hasn't been good.
No.
Of late.
No.
So whenever I see it now, I'm like, I wonder if this is like...
Yeah, he used the money line last night with Texas.
Yeah. So that's one. Another thing we've noticed, Dan, is... The boosts, and we talked about this on the podcast this week. So all the apps are giving out boosts on these like teams and parlays, and they'll give you like these scenarios that you can bet on, and hey, these three things, and bet on it here, and whatever. So the team that was most boosted on Thursday was Tennessee.
Yep.
And they lost.
Yep.
Who were the boosted teams yesterday?
It was Alabama and Houston everywhere. And by the way, Joe can confirm this because I put in, we have a text message group, me, Joe, Sammy P, Ed Lowe from DraftKings and our guy CT Betts. And we had, and what I say, everyone is boosting Alabama. Everyone is boosting Houston.
Yep.
But outright. Not even the points. Outright.
There's something to it. Maybe it's just.
Do not take the boost. Do not take the specific boost.
If I see the boost, it's kind of like sometimes when we see those good teaser numbers, right? You don't say, oh, you can get this teaser. Yep. It will lose.
Yep. Now, I'll tell you, FanDuel did have UConn halftime, full-time against Arkansas, boosted, so that one won. But prior to that, they had, who did Michigan State play last round? Marquette, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They had Marquette boosted after.
Yeah, Marquette was boosted.
Yeah. So, you know, I would just, again, when you have a team that's being boosted everywhere, I would just pay attention to it. Again, don't let it affect your handicap. Do what you got to do. I'm just saying, happens to be something that occurs quite a bit.
Yeah.
Usually books have an idea of who they think is going to win. They don't know. So no one knows.
Today it has to be Kansas State.
I'm assuming
it has to be Kansas State.
I'm assuming that both UConn and Kansas State will be boosted today. That is my
guess. Well, if UConn's boosted, like, again, I still think Gonzaga has a shot in that game.
They have a shot, for sure.
I still think they do.
I'm just telling you, that it's not a good matchup.
And listen, I don't have a bias against UConn because I really actually, growing up, the Donyell Marshall, Donnie Marshall days, Ray Allen, like that was, and I know Tim McCone, our good friend over here, sweating out these UConn games every single night. So I don't hate
Tim McCone, noted big Rip Hamilton fan.
That's right. I don't dislike UConn. I just have faded them and have been successful.
I just don't love them.
So I look at them in this spot as I think they are the better team right now. I think they will win the matchup when it comes to the bigs, and I think that they can. They've been shooting 40% from three, over 40%.
All right, let's dig into tomorrow's games. We've dug into the two games today. Let's dig into tomorrow's games. You want to start with the early one?
Yeah, Creighton. San Diego State, Creighton off a win last night. So, again, the few things that I just noticed from Creighton, they have a bunch of players that can score. Like they're
five deep.
They're definitely five deep. The only thing that I worry about them a little bit is I don't think they're the greatest ball handling team. I think their point guard is very good, and besides that, they have to use one of their bigs what's his name?
Kalima?
Kalima's nasty. He's still raw. By the way, that kid, he needs more work, but he's going to be a player. He actually saved a few plays. Who's their center?
Kalkbrenner?
Kalkbrenner, and then the other kid is Shireman? Is that who it is?
Yeah, so he plays...
He's number 55.
He's listed as a guard. He was on.
That's what I'm saying. I thought he was a big. So they use him up at the top of the key, which helps them.
He's like 6'8".
Because he can throw it inside to the bigs.
He's very
So that's what they do. They were playing a 1-3-1, and they had to like lollipop it over the 1-3-1, but he was the big that could find guys inside, and it worked.
He can Baylor Sharman. He can shoot. Yeah,
so
he's very good.
I will just say this: I think they have a problem handling the basketball. I don't think they're the greatest ball handlers, but can they score? Can they pass? Yes.
They average like 11 and a half turnovers per game.
So that's my like one concern about Creighton is their ball handling skills versus if not the best defensive team in the country right now in the tournament. I think San Diego State's the best defensive team. Maybe we could argue that one. So that's my concern. And it's only 1.5. I think Creighton should be a little higher than that. I mean, I don't know what it is at some other books.
So it opened one. It's up to 1.5 too.
Okay. But I think this is going to be a slugfest because San Diego State's going to make it that way. But Creighton, in the end, I think does have too much scoring ability. But I said that about Alabama.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now. I think this is San Diego State. I do. Eye test right now. San Diego State yesterday with Lamont Butler, with Aguik Arap, who has really emerged for them in the past couple of weeks. They're able to kind of get in there and change the game a little bit. Matt Bradley was terrible yesterday. Again, I don't think Bradley scored until like, I think maybe there were 4 minutes left in the second half. He finally had a few shots. Like, he was horrible yesterday. He's their best player. Offensively, and didn't do anything, and they still won that game. My concern for Creighton is they're going to get in foul trouble against the San Diego State team, and they have no bench. I mean, no bench. Frederick King, Francisco Farabello. Those are like the two guys off the bench. They also use Mason Miller from time to time. Those three guys, they basically give you nothing offensively. I mean nothing. So if Creighton wants to win this game, they're going to have to get something from one of those guys offensively. You're going to have to get 5-10 points from one of those guys, and it just doesn't happen. They just don't do that. King is going to be the other big that they use there, with Kalkbrenner when he's out. He's terrible. I'm going to call it out as he's not good. And then Francisco Farabello, he's fine. He's a fine player. He just doesn't score. He doesn't have the scoring prowess. He's not a good shooter. I am concerned about Creighton. And again, I have a big ticket on Creighton. I want Creighton to win. I am concerned that Creighton does not get past San Diego State because of the fact that they're not deep. And I think San Diego State gets you in foul trouble. I think
that's and listen, Creighton can hit their free throws, which is something Alabama didn't do well. Here's another thing why I think San Diego State should be, has a good shot here is Creighton's not going to play great defense. They're just not, which I think makes things easier for San Diego State because they can focus more on the defensive side of the game. Creighton
is an elite defensive team.
Yeah, I just don't think they're like man up on you. I don't think they're that type of team.
They can be. I think they have the problem is when they go to the bench. The bench is the problem for them. They're five deep. When they go to the bench, they struggle. But even their bench player, Farabello and Miller, are both pretty good defensive players. They can get. So I think they are going to cause problems. But again, Alabama was the third team in the country in defensive efficiency rating. San Diego State torched them, really.
So San Diego State allows 63 points per game. So Creighton this year, they're 21-4 when they score 72 or more. When they don't, they're 3-8. So I think San Diego State's going to slow this game down.
I do too.
And that's going to favor them.
I agree.
So, do I think Creighton's the better team? I do.
Yep.
Do I think they're more talented? Yeah.
Yep.
But can San Diego State continue to do this? I wonder if they can. That's my only thing in the size. Again, Creighton's not your typical, the smallest guy's your point guard. Like, again, I mentioned that they have a big playing basically two guard. And he can throw it inside. They have this play where they kind of fake it. They fake the pass to the outside, and then the big man's wide open underneath for an alley-oop. It happened maybe five times against Princeton. That's against Princeton, who doesn't really have a true big. But that's the same thing for San Diego State. Size can be an issue for them at times. But San Diego State's big. And when I say big, not tall, physical. Like, strong players. But this might come down to the perimeter here. And I think San Diego State can kind of keep Creighton in check. And I mentioned ball handling. I think there's one true ball handler on Creighton.
Ryan Nemhard. And Nemhard is a really good, is a very good ball. And I think
they had to take him out a couple of times. And they even mentioned the depth during the game. They had to take him out.
I know.
And they were like, oh, wow, without Nemhard on the court, Princeton's getting back in the game because they didn't have another ball handler.
They don't. Baylor Sharman's really their other ball handler, and he's not great. He's not great at it. Again, over two turnovers per game. I think, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't like San Diego State. I don't think they're going to win at all, but I think they win this game. And it sucks for me because I have major futures on Creighton. And if Creighton played Alabama, I think Creighton had a real chance to win this game. Real chance to win that game. But against this team, against San Diego State, I think it's a bad matchup for them. I think San Diego State's going to win. Now, I'd like to run a little bit more, go into the analytics a little bit deeper, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll be perfectly honest with you. Right now, eyeball test, again, I would favor San Diego State in this game.
All right, one more game in the Elite Eight we'll get into is Miami and Texas. Right now, the Lions 4.5 or 5.
Open three.
Wow. We'll talk about that one. And I want to just go over the remaining coaches. I wonder if it means anything. I'm starting to wonder if coaching means anything here.
What did I tell you? What we talked about on the podcast. Uzo in March. Stupid.
Let's talk about it coming up next. We'll do that on the other side. It's 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz, the Bankroll Boys, the DraftKings Over Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back here, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Whew.
It's been a wild one. Just trying to hang on and get through these next few games. Let's talk to our buddy Eli Hershkovich on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Eli is from thelines.com. And, you know, Eli, we do this for a living, man. This has not been easy. Would you say we can put all the knowledge we all know and we still can't figure this damn thing out?
It's funny, and I love being out with you guys, of course, breaking down the Elite Eight. It's been a heck of a college basketball season. I mean, you guys have been following along with this entire season with me. I mean, the whole way. People get into March Madness. People get into the conference tournaments. We're breaking this thing down from November 7th, I think, onward. And I pretty much said it all year, just going back to 2014, that this was the most parity since that season when number 7 seed UConn knocked off number 8 seed Kentucky in the title game. But you still couldn't have predicted, no one could have predicted that no number 1 seed, or maybe no number 1 seed to never make the, or that there would be no number 1 seed in the Elite Eight for the first time in NCAA tournament history. But to the notion that we would get these teams in the tournament at this point in the season is wild. Yeah, it's been a heck of a ride.
Yeah, Eli, what are you thinking in regards to basically the early exits for the number one seeds? Obviously, you've talked about the parity. We have talked about the parity on this show multiple times about how there's just so much parity. There's no true number one favorite. But what are your thoughts about this continuing, this being the new norm in college basketball? Because I think this is going to be something that hopefully continues, because it's what makes the tournament so great. And I don't expect it to end anytime soon.
Yeah. And well, what sucks is, I don't know what your guys' opinion about this is. If the tournament field does expand to 90 plus teams, I would personally
hate it.
Right. Okay. So, right. So it's not just, this is the new norm. We might have another new norm coming up. Right. It does suck. So we might not be getting used to this for too long. But, yeah, I think this year is just a little bit different just because the upper echelon, I don't know if we would have a year like this. The upper echelon teams were so flawed. And I know some of your listeners may say, well, hindsight is 20/20. Well, no. I think, again, just going back to the take that you have a number one overall seed like Alabama, that is such a high variance team that relies so much on 3-point shooting, yet turns the basketball over and had the whole Brandon Miller situation surrounding them in the tournament. I think he, and this, not to say that's the reason why he struggled so mightily in the game yesterday. I mean, he faced one of the most physical teams left in the dance. And I think the Aztecs are going to give Creighton a lot of problems. I'm sure we'll talk about that game in a bit. But Brandon Miller had the lowest field goal percentage in an NCAA tournament game since 1985, with a minimum of 35 field goal attempts, 19.5% from the floor. And San Diego State, their ability to pressure the ball and get out on a break, get out in transition, but also kind of keep the game at their pace, because Alabama wants to play so up-tempo. And San Diego State was able to play at a more methodical tempo pace and keep it again at the kind of game that they wanted, which they've been able to do for the entire tournament, which I know I was a little concerned about going in with this team because they come from the Mountain West, and considering all the other teams from that conference lost in the first round, I wasn't too optimistic about the Aztecs' chances, but I am now, and I did wind up betting not just an Elite Eight bet on San Diego State, but also the Aztecs to make the Final Four before that game yesterday. So I do like the matchup heading into the Elite Eight tomorrow with Creighton. And I'm sure, we'll preview that game along with the rest of
it. Yeah, and just sticking with that, we just kind of broke that down. I think Creighton has one true ball handler, and that could give them fits. Obviously, they're taller, while San Diego State plays good perimeter defense, but also has, a bigger team, not size, not height-wise, just bigger overall. Creighton also has to hit the three, something that they were able to do to finish off Princeton, but to me, I'm curious if San Diego State can continue to do this, what they did, off an upset win, now do it against Creighton, where Creighton almost, and again, a couple of plays could have shifted that game with Princeton. But overall, I think Creighton has a shot here, but San Diego State, to me, they're going to have to slow it down like they did against Alabama. And I wonder if Creighton has another ball handler besides their point guard that can actually, handle this San Diego State defense.
Right. And so Creighton, I mean, this is such an intriguing matchup. I cannot wait for this game tomorrow, for the third game of the Elite Eight matchups, one of the two on Sunday, obviously. And Creighton's turnover issues aren't nearly as bad as they were last season. I think Creighton was in the bottom 60 of college basketball in turnover percentage, to your point. And also, I do want to give them a little bit of a break because Ryan Nembhard ended up having the season-ending wrist injury, and that pretty much ended the Blue Jays' chances of making a deep NCAA tournament run, even though they gave Kansas a bit of a run in the round of 32. But if you remember, and I'm sure you guys do, I would assume, just the type of bettors you are, maybe I'm incorrect here, did you guys end up betting San Diego State against Creighton in that round of 64 game last season?
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't remember. I want to say no, I did not. I want to say I bet Creighton.
Oh, well, then my assumption was incorrect.
I don't remember, Eli. I'll be honest with you. I don't. My memory has been fogged.
Well, I was giving you guys too much credit then. But going back to that game, maybe your wife will hate me even more now.
100%.
Going back to that game, San Diego State, Creighton squared off in the tournament last season. And this is, again, a very similar, because both of these teams have a very similar bowl to them.
That game went to OT last year. Yeah, okay, I remember now, yeah.
Right, it not only went to OT, San Diego State was up 19 points in the second half, and they didn't score for the last 3+ minutes, almost 4 minutes of regulation, and ended up losing the game in overtime. So I know you guys are a fan of situational spots, and listen, I am not trying to make the case that San Diego State has a motivational factor. Both of these teams are going to be fighting for a berth in the Final Four for the first time in program history for each of these teams. So the motivation is at a high level, no matter which one of these teams came out on top of that game last season. But you have to think that San Diego State remembered that Creighton game for the entire offseason. And you have to think that the defensive edge, not only, I mean, Joe, you hit the nail on the head with his defense. They pressure the ball. This is one of, if not the best defense remaining in the tournament. And what's crazy is, if you look at, I know there's a lot of games to break down, so I'll keep this short, but you look at the teams surrounding San Diego State in regards to three-point defense. The other three teams, because San Diego State is a top four three-point defense in college basketball, the other three teams have been bounced: Alabama, Tennessee, and Houston. The one difference with San Diego State is their length. They don't give up open threes. It's not like they do pack the paint. They play a semblance of a pack line defense under Brian Dutcher, one of the best game planners in college basketball. But Alabama, Tennessee, Houston, you can make the case that all three of those teams played in conferences, two conferences that didn't have great three-point shooting, and they also play a bit more of interior-driven defense, and Alabama and Tennessee played more drop coverage. So I think San Diego State is, just in terms of their elite defense, I think it actually is elite in all facets, and I do think they get to the Final Four.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a scare last night, Eli. So I unfortunately did not get to go into my in-depth analysis. But one, K-State keeps winning. K-State keeps winning. They keep finding it a way to stick to you. But UConn keeps winning, and they keep finding a way to help you. Now, those two games today, I'll be honest with you. I think Florida Atlantic ends K-State's run today. Again, just eyeball test.
Oh, wow.
I do. I think that's possible. But I think that Gonzaga's in trouble, because I think that UConn and UCLA are very similar, with the exception of the fact that UConn doesn't have the injuries that UCLA has, and they're probably a little bit deeper and probably, honestly, a little bit better offensively. What are your thoughts on those two games today? Where are you headed on these two?
Yeah, so let's start off with the first team game that you mentioned, the first matchup, K-State and FAU. FAU has not shot it well from three in the tournament. And you go back to the Tennessee game, didn't shoot it well from behind the arc in the first half, but hit some timely threes, especially on that big scoring run to take the lead and almost score up to double digits in the second half. And Kansas State, I'm surprised. I thought you were going to say you were on the Wildcats again.
No.
But the one determining factor, so maybe there I was not giving you enough credit. The one determining factor in this game is obviously the Marquise Noel ankle injury, which has swung this line a bit, because it was all the way up to K-State -2.5, and then we saw some money coming yesterday, bumping it down to 1.5 at some shops. And I think FAU's three-point shooting does, and K-State's run as well. Now, I don't think I'm necessarily going to bet this game, even though I do believe in the Owls shooting, because I am still, I don't know the status of Noel's injury from the people I've talked to, and just heading into the game, I think it could go one of two ways for him. So I don't, if live, it's kind of similar. If it stiffens up, if it goes well for one of the best playmakers left in the tournament, then the Wildcats couldn't end up making it to the Final Four. But to my earlier point, K-State plays a no-middle defense, which seemingly every Big 12 defense does. And FAU, if their shooting does see some positive regression, which I think it will, two of the better three-point shooters among mid-major teams in Jonell Davis and Elijah Martin, FAU with the 25th highest three-point scoring rate in college basketball. So again, going back to my original stance that FAU's three-point shooting is there, even though the numbers are not. So it would be a heck of a story, because I believe FAU would be the first true mid-major, especially from a lower-tier mid-major conference in Conference USA, to make a Final Four since Loyola Chicago back late last decade. And I do think they get the job done, although I'm not going to have a bet on this game.
And I know you like UConn versus Gonzaga. I asked Dan earlier, why is UConn favored? So I guess I'll ask you why. And you like them, obviously, here. I know you gave it out at thelines.com as our play here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And, of course, go check out all the landing page at thelines.com/sportshub as well. But, you know, UConn, you like them. Why?
Yeah. Wait, with that, it sounded like at the beginning of that you were – leaning towards Gonzaga.
He is.
Yes, he is. I don't dislike UConn. I just have a feeling they've won every game by 20 points and they can have a dud. But again, I bet against I had Arkansas in the last game, so what do I know?
Listen, and I had an Arkansas regional ticket. So The one, okay, I'll go devil's advocate on the quick 20-second hit that I had that you referenced for UConn making it to the Final Four on that pick. Gonzaga, and I think I discussed this with you guys a couple of times, Gonzaga broke out a 1-2-2 full court, three-quarter court press against St. Mary's. So the Zags on the season, I've also hit on this a ton, that their defense isn't nearly as good as it's been under some of these teams that Mark Few has taken to the Elite Eight. They rank outside of the top 70 in adjusted defensive efficiency. So that should tell you all you need to know. Or if it doesn't, the name Chet Holmgren should ring a bell. Gonzaga really lacks that rim protection, and their pick-and-roll defense has been abysmal for much of the season. But the one adjustment that Mark Few made, or the two adjustments that Mark Few made, going back to that St. Mary's game, or the two that I referenced, was that pressure defense. And the one area where UConn is still exploitable, that I was shocked that Eric Musselman broke this out with 12 to 13 minutes left in the second half, when they're already down by, 20-plus points. Arkansas finally pressed, and they went on, a 6-0, 7-0 scoring run. Didn't matter at that point of the game. But I would assume Gonzaga runs that 1-2-2 press at some point, if not early on, in this game to disrupt UConn's flow, to your point, Joe. And then going back to the other thing that I thought was impressive with Gonzaga in the second half against UCLA was their pick-and-roll defense when Mark Few pretty much sat his two starting guards in Bolton and one of the other lead guards that's been inconsistent this season, and he went with Hunter Salas and Malachi Smith, the Chattanooga freshman or transfer who had a big NCAA tournament last season, almost upsetting, or big march, I should say, almost upsetting Illinois in the first round. But with all that being said, Dan said this as well, UConn not only has the depth, but they have the length to bother Drew Timmy. And I'm sure Dan is a little bit spiteful too, because he had the UCLA futures bet. And I don't think it was out of the question, especially considering that we have no number one seed left, that even with a banged up Bruins team, even without Jalen Clark, even with a Dembona dealing with that shoulder injury, if Amari Bailey's three was the difference maker in Gonzaga, UCLA, and Strother doesn't hit the three, by the way, I still think that was a bad shot, and I'm sure you guys agree, then I think the Bruins could have won it all. But I'm sorry, Joe, but I think UConn's length ends Drew Timmy's collegiate career and gets to the Final Four here.
All right. And I know there's one more game here before we let you go. It's Miami, who I had, but I just thought that they'd hang within eight. So I'm not going to do a victory lap or anything. But they take on Texas. The line's 4.5 in some places.
4.5 now.
I think Texas is too much, but do you have a defense for Miami in this matchup?
No, I don't. I think they've gotten, not to say they didn't play well yesterday, but because they exploited Houston in transition, and Jim Larranega put on a coaching clinic. So it's kind of similar. I honestly, if you're on Gonzaga, I'm surprised you're not on Miami, especially considering just from the standpoint of an elite offensive team across college basketball, and also because Texas is banged up now with Dylan Dessou. He was seen in the boot. And I think there was a report, too, going into the game itself that he was going to be limited minutes-wise because he had initially suffered the injury, I believe, in practice. And it's a shame because he finally was healthy. And I know he dominated a smaller Penn State front court and a weaker Colgate team from a Patriot League. Going back to the mid-major notion in the first round. But still, Texas has one of, if not the best defense left in the dance. You have guards that can win in March, which we've hit on a lot as well. Marcus Carr and Tyrese Hunter, the Iowa State transfer. You still have Christian Bishop, who came over from Creighton a couple years ago. And Timmy Allen is an elite wing defender, and especially at that fourth spot, he could defend pretty much 1-5, which gives Texas's defense a lot of versatility. And I also want to give Rodney Terry credit, because while Xavier missed a ton of layups yesterday and they really needed Jack Nungy to come through for them down low in the interior in order to space the floor, because then Texas didn't need to really double in the post, and they could stick onto these Xavier shooters that I thought would give Texas fits. But going back to this matchup itself, I unless Miami is able to run and get some mismatches in transition, again, their guards are very good, if not elite, borderline elite, with Nigel Pack, the K-State transfer, and the ACC Player of the Year, and Isaiah Wong. And I don't think Texas's ball pressure is going to give those guys a ton of issues, but they still haven't faced a pressure defense like it, even though Houston is very good in that regard as well. But I do think, not to say this line isn't inflated at this point, because I think Texas might be in for a dogfight, at least in the first half, against a very well-coached Miami team, like I mentioned, with Jim Larranega. But I do think Texas gets to the Final Four at least.
All right, he's Eli Hershkovich. Go check him out, man. We're all in this together, dude. Because like I said, my opening take today was that everyone thinks they're a sports better now because, you know, it's legal here in Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
So it's
like, I'm sure. Listen, I saw Dan's Twitter. Like, I can't imagine what you guys are dealing with on a daily basis with people betting parlays. And I'm sure 90% of your audience, not only your wife, Dad, at this point, hates me because of that point. Everyone wants to bet a parlay, but please, number one, be responsible with your means when it comes to sports betting, please, because a lot of people I know have gotten into serious issues. So as fun as this is for us, it's also, one person I know got into a bit of a problem. I'm obviously not going to share any more than that during the NCAA tournament. It's hard because there is a lot of action, and if you're a small gambler, stick to that, please. But also, please don't bet any parlays while you're at it.
Yeah, no more parlays, even though they're giving the boosts. And we found a flaw in the boost. Any team that's boosted, they've all lost. Tennessee, Alabama, and who was the other one last night? Houston. They were all boosted, and they all lost. So we're thinking it's going to be K-State today that's boosted. So we'll keep our eyes on that one. But check out everything at thelines.com/sportshub for all the promos over there. And we know Eli's pick today. So we'll talk next week. Final Four next week. It should be a good one, Eli.
Can't wait. Go Aztecs. I gave you guys too much credit thinking you guys would remember that first round game last year. I don't know a lot of people that would, to be fair, but hope you guys enjoy this Elite Eight. It's going to be a heck of a couple days, guys. Enjoy the rest of the show as well.
He's Eli Hershkovich. Does an awesome job over at thelines.com. Go check out all their work over at the Lines. They break down every single game, too. So nice stuff, everyone. I do want to ask Dan on the other side, who's the best coach available? And then we'll get into anything else that we missed today. You're listening to 98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, final segment of the DraftKings Over-Under Show. Off the air, I'm telling Dan that I hate both UConn and Gonzaga, and I don't know what to do.
I have an idea. Don't bet a game for once. There is no one who likes to bet every game like Joe Murray. I love it. Joe's like, I'm not going to bet every game. And then he's on with Leroy 20 minutes later giving you picks on every game. I love it.
5-9 I went.
Day you did really well, though. I think you went 4-1.
The next day, I was just telling Dan off the air, I'm one of those guys where if I have a bad day the next day, you gotta follow. It's like one of those things where it's like, oh, but if I have two bad days, you might not hear from me.
Find me under the Tobin. Find me under the Tobin.
Literally. All right, who's the best coach remaining in this tournament?
It's Larranega. I don't think it's very close. There's not a lot of seasoned coaches here. You could argue Mark Few. I don't think so. Few continues to struggle, in my opinion, with setting strategies. In game, I think he's really good, but I think pregame his strategy has been extremely poor, and he does kind of wait a little while to adjust. I think Larinaga is the best. He's taken – look, the Miami team is a terrible defensive team. That's a team that really should be absolutely just getting gashed every time down the floor. And they're not, you know, credit to them. I thought they were going to get gashed by Houston. The Houston control the tempo, get a few stops, you know, can just continue to kind of do what they do, get in their half-court offense and gash Miami, and not even close. Miami got them on the run, and yeah, it was all that was roses from that, you know, from then on. But yeah, I think it's Larinaga. I'm going to be honest with you, though, Joe. I think what Texas is doing under Terry is incredibly valuable. I think he has that team's ear. They trust him. So I think that you can make an argument that he's right there right now. Not saying over time he's the best head coach, most experienced. I'm saying right now they trust him.
Greg McDermott's a guy I'd look at just as a guy. I thought he'd walk away a couple of years ago, and here he is. Still, I think Larinaga is the guy, though. I really like Jerome Tang. I wonder what they do today. I'm interested to see how they play today. But, man, yeah. You know what? Know what's so funny about this tournament?
No half-court shots today, Jerome.
You know. Know what's funny thing about the tournament, too? Whenever somebody's injured. Now, Sasser, I know, was injured but still put up 20 points a game. But when these guys are injured, man, they really, really. I've never seen a sport where when someone's injured, they either don't play or, like, can't play. It's just one of these, like, you know, we've always seen guys tough it out. I'm not saying they're not tough. But they just don't let the kids play.
Call it how it is. A lot of these kids, they're softer than they
are. Or they're thinking of their future. I don't know.
That's actually probably what it is. It's probably more of a future thing. But still.
But come on. So it's UCLA, you'd still be in this thing.
Sweet 16. Well, I mean, Jalen Clark, he can't really play. But Bona, you have a shoulder injury? Get shot up. I mean, I don't know. If it was me and I would be taking, give me the shot. I want to play. Give me the shot.
Here we are telling Cole.
I know. It sounds terrible.
It's betting. Wait, you know what? Sometimes in betting, you can't have a heart.
It's a blue collar town. You want your players to be blue collar, right? And part of that is playing through
it. Tape it up. Rub some dirt on it.
Yep.
Get back out there.
How many times did Tom Brady play through you? Come on. Tom can do it. You can do it. I'm just kidding.
How do you feel about the Jeff Goodman and Dave Portnoy
back? I'm a big Goodman guy. I like both of them legitimately. Legitimately like both those guys. So, I mean, I know people hate
Kim Portnoy. English going to...
Hate the Kim English hire. Hate it.
How about Pitino?
I hate it for Pitino. I mean, I thought you'd get it. We got a bigger job than that. Providence is a better job than St. John's. You tell me you couldn't get the Providence job, Pitino? Like, that to me makes sense.
Would they do that again?
I think Kim English is going to be a disaster in Providence. We'll see. A million times.
How about...
I think Kim English is going to be a disaster.
How about Cooley going to Georgetown?
I think Georgetown's a better job than Providence. Sorry. I know people, like, want to fight that, like, tooth and nail, like... The Providence, like, what's the historical Providence? Historical basketball college Providence. Nothing. There is no history
Cooley's
with the program.
So
the
past, John Thompson.
The past 5 to 7 years doesn't matter to me because it's not about the past 5 to 7 years. Georgetown has history. They're a bigger program. They're a better job, and they're going to be able to attract more. That's the reality of the situation. I'm sorry. And this is not about me not liking Providence, because I'll be honest, I don't like Providence fans because I think they're really big babies. They're like crazy. Like, they're like green teamers time too. But like, I this has nothing to do with it. I just think Georgetown is a better program than they are. I would say, like, you know, the same thing. Like, there's a reason Micah Shrewsbury didn't want to come to Providence. Sorry. Like, it is what it is.
Yep, he went to Notre Dame.
I will say this. I hope I'm wrong about Kim English, because it's better when Providence is good, because it's more fun for us to kind of engage in the fan base. So I hope that Kim English is better. I just legitimately don't think he's a good coach. I think he's too young. He didn't do enough in a bad conference in the A-10.
All right. Give you a pick. Give me the over in the UConn-Gonzaga game. Ring the bell.
Okay,
I know.
So,
you know why? It's 150. What do you got?
153.5.
Okay. Yep. That's a high total, if you ask me, and that's why I'm going over. I just feel like, and maybe it favors Gonzaga if that's the case. I haven't given out a pick, so I wanted to give out the over in that one.
I think the total actually kind of favors both teams. I think you can make an argument for both of them.
And then 133 is the number in Creighton and San Diego State.
Yep.
It looks really low to me, which makes me think under. It's really low, man. Oh, man. I the totals have been coming back around again. I don't know. I'll tweet them out tomorrow.
Okay. I'll give this one out. Give me Wisconsin, North Texas. Whoa. In the NIT under 115.
Hey, the NIT still goes.
Yeah, March 28th. So a couple days, but those games I have done. Wisconsin, North Texas under 115. I will tweet out my picks again for today. Apologies. I was not prepped. I blame my wife.
We got to find out who's playing too, because we'll find out if guys can hang in there, which has been a big thing for this tournament. All right, we got to get out of here. And of course, all our picks brought to you by thelines.com, and check out their promo page at thelines.com/sports. So we got to get out of here. This has been another edition of the DraftKings Over Under Show.
Who you got?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.